Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for a chance for us to come together, gathered in your name, around your word, around you. And we pray that in this new series of Believe, that we would be encouraged and challenged, that we would be equipped, and that we would know you better, believe in you so much deeper, that we would be more like your son Jesus, walking like him, in rhythm with you, Lord. We pray that you would take this time, bless it, and use it for your glory. We give you thanks and praise. Amen. This text is just a really interesting text, if you will. This is from 1 John, or 1 John, you might prefer, chapter 4. And John is, if you will, telling people who this Jesus is. Before the split, between the Eastern Church and the Western Church. I'm not going to give you dates and things to bore you. But basically, around 1,000, we'll go there, just kind of keep it in a ballpark for you. There was a split between, in the Church of God. And it was sad, but it was the case. And since that time, it's been very rare that the Eastern Church and the Western Church has really discussed things, dialogue things, when it comes to theology. Some of it's very different. Some of it we have focused in on very specific things here in the West. In the East, this is really where they begin all their theology, that who is God? And they begin with this in 1 John. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Everything they think about, everything they believe, all other theology bears from that. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is the word of the Lord. So, this whole series that we're going to be doing for the next 10 weeks, it's about what do you believe? What do you believe in? Dare I say, who do you believe in? There's a book that goes with it. We have student editions. We have children's editions. We have so many things going on with this. It's not just more to do. I promise you this. But we're going to look at the 10 things, if you will, that all Christians have believed since the beginning. Who is this God? What is he doing? How do we work with him? Do we work with him? Does he do his own thing? We do our own thing. How does that all work? What I found interesting is talking to several people that have already read the first chapter and they're like, I want to keep reading. I said, go ahead. We're going to keep going in the order though. And I said, what do you think about it? And they're like, I didn't realize how much I didn't know about my faith. And I said, that's okay. That's why we're doing this. If I was to say, who is God? You might have one answer. You might have an answer that's completely, totally not in accordance with the Bible, with the scripture. And yet, it's very interesting where we find ourselves when it comes to what we believe. Many of us have just been told this is who God is, or this is who God is and what he does in the world, and yet we never really considered where does that come from, good or bad. But one's theology determines how one lives one's life. In other words, what we believe and know about God has a direct correlation to how we actually live out this thing called life. If you believe God is for you, that's going to have an impact. If you believe God is against you, that's going to have an impact. If you believe God is waiting to catch you doing something wrong, that's going to have an impact. If you believe God is generous, that also. Faithful. What if I said God is good? Would that encourage you? Or would you, like most, go, he may be good sometimes? Now, come on, how many of us have gotten that call from the doctor? The cancer's back. How many of us got that call from work and it doesn't look good for the future? There are bad things that happen, and I'm not going to come up here and tell you that God is just sit there and everything is going to be fine and you're going to feel like you are loving life all the time. That's just not true. But yet, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the suffering, how does your theology of how God is good and God is love help us take the next step and trust him to take the next step? I don't know why he answered the prayer for getting my parking space, but didn't answer the prayer for healing my husband. There's no easy answers to that. I don't, just because I have a robe and a stole doesn't mean I have all those answers. And I hope you would know that too. That if I started giving you all those easy, cheesy answers, that you would say no. But the reality is, we have a God who is at work in this world. We know this from what the scriptures teach us. We know this from what God has done before and what he's going to continue to do in us. This picture, if you will, is a picture that I just love because it's about this birth, this growth, that this seed that is now starting to grow and birth life has an opportunity to grow and flourish with the right environmental elements, with the right care. This thing can flourish. Do you know that there was a time when Christianity wasn't the dominant religion in the world? That it was a marginalized, at best, sect of Judaism? But the rise of Christianity, if you will, is something so many of us don't know about and yet so crucial for us to understand. Christianity, if you will, the Jesus movement began, if you will, with 12, went to about 120, and then this thing called the Day of Pentecost, when the church kind of made its stand and declaration, it, if you will, gathered 3,000 in one day. And so that's around, if you will, we expect, you know, sometime around 40 AD. In the next 25 years, okay, if you will, kind of at, we know, if you will, from that point to about 350 AD. So roughly 300 years. It went from 3,000 to 33 million. 33 million followers. That's what historians have found. We have evidence for this. This is not just kind of, I'm just making up numbers. This is what we've found anthropologically, sociologically. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. How did it go from 3,000 to 33 million? In 300 years. 300 years. That's radical. What's sad is at 350, around 350 is when it kind of just levels off. Over 50% of the Western Empire would declare themselves as Christian. 90% of the country today, right now, believes in God. Now, what that means, that's up for debate. That's up for dialogue. But what does it mean to believe in this God that, if you will, from the Bible? Who is this God that went and some marginalized group of people, that this failed Messiah who died, now they come up and say he lived, which again, dead people stayed dead back then too, just like they do today. So how does that happen? Some radical things happened. One, there was a couple horrible things in the world. Like one was the plague, and Christians stayed and helped and cared and loved on them. Christians, it was illegal to be a Christian for the first 300 years, and so you couldn't have a church building. It was, again, you were persecuted for your faith. And yet in that, the community of God flourished. We know in parts today, parts of China, parts of Africa, where it's illegal to be a Christian, it's flourishing in the millions, growing exponentially. We know when there is that horrible situation, God shows up in a big way. How did this Christianity come to be what it is? It answered this first question, who is God? Because that's really what it's all about. Who is God? The first chapter in the book of Believe, and if you don't have that book, please, before you leave today, get it and get caught up. We'll be doing chapter 2 next week. But who is God? Who is this God of the Bible? What does he tell us that he's doing? It starts actually at the beginning of the Bible in this thing called Genesis. And Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God. Interesting is we have, if you will, right soon after that, we have this personal name of God known as Yahweh. And so he says, I am who I am. I'll be who I will be. You can't contain me. There's no image that can fathom me. There's just no way. But know this, I am God. We know this personal name of God, but the writers of the scriptures and their genius don't start with that. They start where all people can say, oh yeah, okay, God, sure. In the beginning, God, the generic name, God, because they wanted to try to get footing with people that might not believe what they believe, to help them understand who this God is. In the beginning, God. And then soon after, we find this personal God who says, I am your God, there's nothing written at that time, in this time of history, anything like that, that this God is saying, I am yours and you are mine. Radical notion. So who is this God? And what is God doing? This scripture that God gives us isn't about, it's not just trying to find a checklist for how do we get somewhere. It's not just some, if you will, just kind of this, any question you have about life or science or medical stuff or whatever is in there. It's not. And yet, what is the purpose? The first, absolutely, first part of the Bible is all about who is this God? What kind of God is he? It implies, it assumes actually, that of course you're believing in the existence of God. It's kind of crazy. They don't in any way try to prove the existence of God. By the way, you can't prove. You can get it to the, if you will, without doubt, but the reality is there's nothing I can show you up here that says, boop. But we do know there's a ton of evidence, So how do we lean into that? Who is this God and what is God doing? It's a radically different idea of what the Bible's teaching than trying to take questions we have in 2019 and immediately apply them back. If several of you that have read chapter 1, there's this, if you will, just kind of focus on Abraham. And Abraham and his poor choices as well as his faithfulness to God. Lots of things going on. I love that the Bible is messy. There's no perfect people except Jesus here. And so the Bible is full on. And I'm talking with my one of my kids last night, and as I'm talking with them about this story that they were reading too in their chapter, they were like, man, what the heck is that? Like, why did Abraham do that? And I'm like, well, it was a different time. It was different kind of reality, different culture. Not saying it justifies it, but just it's pretty crazy. Some of the stuff that's in the scriptures, you just go, why in the world would people do that? Why are they doing that? You're like, come on. And yet, it's not trying to help us understand or even adapt their ethics to our lives. It's trying to help us understand who is this God? Who is this God of the Bible? The question that you have to answer for your own self is, what do I believe in? What do I believe in? This, if you will, is a classic understanding of who God is when it comes to the scriptures in our faith of Orthodox Christianity, the way that we have been throughout the ages. I believe the God of the Bible is the only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That there's this oneness of God and this, if you will, threeness of God. Comes from the scripture, 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's a prayer that the gentleman is giving, this writer Paul in Corinthians, but notice the threeness of God right there, clearly. It's from the early part of scripture, we have this, of the New Testament, that we have this idea that there is this God. But again, there's three things that the book really focuses on. The existence of God. It doesn't try to argue it. It just tries to let you know that the Bible assumes there is a God. It also talks about the oneness of God, as I just mentioned, that there is this unity, but not uniformity, distinct. Three, if you will, substances, one essence. The threeness of God, again, and then the God of the Bible is, if you will, my little take on this chapter is the Bible. God of the Bible is love. It starts and it is there. It doesn't say that. There's so many things that describe who God is or what God's like. We call these attributes. One of them is God is love. Not loving. God is love. That's radically different. Everything about who God is based in that. Now, what love is about justice too. So he deals with brokenness. He deals with sin. He deals with rebellion because he does love us. If you've ever been a parent or an aunt or an uncle, you know you want the best for your child. You know you want the best for that child. And so you're going to want to work on their behalf. Sometimes your working on their behalf doesn't make them happy. That is not always fun. And yet God is that way with us. Some of us are struggling with who we are and where we're at in life and why aren't we like this or why aren't we like that? And yet we just have to understand that God is at work and we need to believe and accept that. Lord, I'm not sure what you're doing. I'm not sure where I'm at, but I'm trying to lean into where you have me. That he's big enough. Some of you fly all the time. Some of you travel. I'm not necessarily one of those kind of people. Once a year, maybe twice a year. But when I do, I know that every time we get ready to lift off, I say a quick prayer. Not because I'm afraid, but like, Lord, I know you can take better care of the girls than I can. I'm just, you know, trusting you. guide the pilot and all those who worked on it. You know, like, you know, you're in charge, but it's like, it's all in your hands. We have these moments before surgery. Lord, I know you're in charge. Help me just trust you. Give me a peace. We have these moments that really clarify what we believe and where we're at. We have these moments that from our past that inform us to where we're at. What struggles are you facing? What challenges are you just wrestling with? Is God love for you there? I'm going to say yes, but sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes the Lord does not express himself the way we want him to. Doesn't mean he's not. He's just not expressing himself that way to you. The God of the Bible is faithful. One time, one scripture after another in scripture, and one more after another, you find this, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Jesus says, I'm with you to the end of the age. Joshua 1:9 is one of my favorite scriptures. It just talks about Joshua, and he's, you know, do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous, for I am with you. That I am with you when life is tough. I am faithful. I will be there for you when you don't think anyone else is there. When everyone else has left you, I am there. We have a very different God that we have in the scripture than any other religion. And that's not me getting on my box. That's just, we have an amazing God. God is faithful. God is love. God is faithful. And there's, again, I love this one. It's just that God shows up. When we really need him, he does. When we're not sure about what's going to happen, we're not sure about the end of the month, and we got more month than money, God shows up. When we're not sure about what the prognosis might be from the doctor, God shows up. Some of you know Bob Davison here, longtime elder, a man who loves the Lord. He has been praying for his daughter who's been fighting cancer for years now. And here he is, 86, and his daughter just passed away. And in that loss and in that grief, he just says in a broken voice, I know who holds the future. I know who holds tomorrow. I know who is in charge. And God blessed them that they had a chance to say goodbye. God blessed them that they could be present with one another and share the love and laugh a little bit. But in that loss and in that grief that he's going to be working through, God was present. He says, she had a peace. She was ready. She fought a good fight. But she just knew, okay, this is my time. And her heart's hurt for him. They come fly in tomorrow. We pray with everything in the weather. But the reality is, when brokenness happens, that's when you discover what you really believe in. When life gets turned upside down, that's when you find out real quick, how strong is my faith? When things are easy, it's, oh, I believe in this, and that's no problem. But when your kid doesn't go to sleep for months, and you're just trying to make it through the day, or when that ailment that just keeps going on, and you're going, Lord, I know you could heal me, but for whatever reason, you've chosen not to, so help me to trust you in this. We have to develop that God theology, that of pain, of suffering, of struggle, so that when life does happen, when the storms come, not if, but when, we're prepared. We're prepared. Now, I've just talked about a few, if you will, of these attributes. Let me just kind of show you some more that I thought about. I should bring you like my library, kind of show you, like, because this next 10 weeks is kind of like seminary 2.0 for you, for my schooling, if you will. Omnipotence, we didn't discuss that. His power, he's all powerful. Omnipresence, everywhere, he's everywhere. So you don't ever have to say, God, go with me, because he's already there. I just saved you a prayer right there. You're good, okay? Omniscience, all-knowing, that he knows everything. On a side note, I think God is so amazingly generous and faithful in this, and that I think he limits some of his knowledge so that he can hear us pray like it's the first time he heard it. Think about that. We don't have to pray because he doesn't know it. He knows it, but he's like, he is all ears, listening, waiting, desiring to spend time with you, listening, talking, just being present. You ever go on a walk with someone? maybe a hike. We had a great, great, several great speakers at the conference. This one gentleman, Albert, he starts off with, he comes in, and he was hilarious. Pastor, but he comes out and he's like, I just want to get kind of something out in front, kind of let you know about something. I'm kind of just, want you to know kind of where I'm coming from. I'm black, and he's black, you know, and I'm like, okay, there, that was a way to start, right? So he's, I'm black, and it's like, all right. And he starts talking, talking about how important diversity is, how important it is to not ignore the differences, but to celebrate them. And I thought about, again, and he uses, if you will, this scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, talks about how we're like the body. The body is one, and yet we have all these individual parts. We have thumbs. We don't have 1,000 thumbs. We have 2, usually. Okay? And yet, if the thumb was to say, well, you know what? I'm done. I'm always having to pick up everything after everyone else, but I'm done. Nope. I'm going to hang out with my thumb family and my thumb friends. I'm going to thumb church, and it's just all about thumbs. It's like, what kind of church would that be? Thumb church. Anyway, but the reality is, he starts talking about all the differences, and he says, you know, here I am. He says, I'm working at went from this small little church over on the East Coast, southern state. He goes, now I'm in California, and I'm working with these group of people. We're going to have breakfast together, and they're having a meal. And he says, there's a guy with piercings that he never knew you could have piercings with, like where all they were on his body. Loved Jesus, but he said he didn't talk to him for almost like weeks. He just was like I'm just scared of that guy, you know? And he's a big man too. And he had this other girl who's like, well, so, like, Valley Girl, and oh my gosh, and she just was all that. And then, and just there was such a diverse group of people that even the server, when they went to go, she went to get her, their meal, if you will, their order, said, okay, I got to ask you something. Why are you all together? You are so different. Here's this black man, tattooed, pierced guy, Valley Girl, and some other guy, and all these things. And they're like, what is going on? He's like, and they just looked at each other and started busting out laughing. They said, Jesus. It's because of Jesus and his amazing love. I thought that was so beautiful. How challenging it is sometimes to help others know. There are some major differences in our community, differences in our church. Republican, Democrat, Jesus. Oh yeah, he's big enough. Oh yeah. Think about how great God is, that he's able to take us pull us all together in him. This amazing God. Then there's another one that, again, then there's so many more. The immutability, the essence, in other words, that God doesn't change, that he is always going to be good, he's always love, no matter what happens, no matter what we do, he is who he is. So the question I leave you is this: do you believe in the one true God? Do you believe the God of the Bible? Now, this is something that many people, oh yeah, yeah, and that's good. That's good. We want that, obviously. But the reality is, how do others know this love? How do others come to experience that? Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Whew, that's heavy. This is how God showed his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him, that our life is found in him and through him by him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He is so good. I hope and pray that you'll continue with us in this series. I hope that you will be encouraged, you'll be challenged, and you will be renewed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for a chance to come together, to be reminded of who you are in Scripture, that we may be reminded of whose we are and the work that you're doing in us and through us. May we trust in you. May we know that you are doing a great, 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 great work. We are grateful. We are thankful. We pray that, again, you would just give us your peace and your presence. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. We pray for our government. We pray for wisdom, leadership, humility. We pray that you, Jesus, would bring your kingdom. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.